On Monday, the New York Attorney General's office announced that 19 companies would be fined $350,000 for paying for fake reviews on sites like Yelp. The regulators say they caught the fraudsters by posing as a struggling Brooklyn yogurt shop and asking search engine optimization companies to carpet bomb review sites on its behalf. But according to a study that came out this May, many fake reviewers online are not paid by anyone. For reasons best known to themselves, they simply go online to comment about products they have never used and often are none too generous. Duncan Simister, a professor of marketing at MIT's Sloan School of Management, was co-author of the study. Duncan, welcome to On the Media.
Thank you.
Now, how did you put your study together?
We worked with a very large private label apparel company. We obtained all the data describing all of their reviews and also all of their transaction data, so we could match whether a customer who was writing a review had actually purchased the item they were reviewing. So we compared the reviews where there was a matching transaction with the reviews where the customer hadn't purchased the item prior to writing the reviews. And what did we find? Well, interestingly, the reviews without prior transactions were significantly more negative. There were also, you know, big differences in the text itself. Perhaps not surprisingly, if you haven't purchased the item, you can't describe the fit or the feel of the products. They also were full of cues that we would normally, in the psycholinguistics literature, that we associate with deception.
For example?
It turns out that when we're trying to deceive, we feel like we have to be more elaborate than we would normally be. So a pretty good cue of deception is that people use a lot of words in their reviews. And because that takes so much effort, they also tend to use shorter words. So these reviews were not only more negative, but the text of them was significantly different as well.
And in addition to wordiness, contains some just irrelevancies?
Well, it's hard to talk about a product that you haven't purchased. So the reviewers will start talking about things that are really unrelated to the product. You know, they'll start talking about their family and father first sort of took them to the store down the road. So we see a lot of discussion in there that really isn't very helpful.
I kind of get why people will fake a resume or tell war stories or describe the fish that got away. Have you any insight into why people would go online to review a product that they've never purchased?
My first thought was maybe these are angry customers. Maybe they've had a bad service experience and this is some form of retribution. And that turns out not to be the case. We think what's more likely is they actually like the company so much that they're self-appointing themselves as brand managers. And so when they see the firm selling a product that's new or different or they didn't expect to see, they want to give feedback to the firm. And a very convenient way to give feedback is to use this review mechanism.
That sounds, what do you call it? Insane.
You know, there's an old phrase, which is, you know, your best friends are your worst critics. And I think there's a little bit of this going on. I think it's also true that we have to remember how few customers actually write reviews. So, you know, out of 1,000 customers, only about 15 write reviews. And about one of those 15 will write these fake reviews. But the reviews written by those 15 customers are very influential for the other 985 customers. Mm. The fact that the reviews without transactions are more negative lowers revenue for the items by about 1% to 2%. You're thinking 1% to 2% doesn't sound like a lot, but for these retailers, and this is a big deal, taking 1% to 2% off their top line is, you know, has an important impact on them.
So is it vandalism?
I actually think that a lot of the reviewers who are doing this, really, they think they've got the best interests of the company at heart, ironically. They're very good customers of these firms, or at least of this firm, and I think they're actually just trying to protect the brand. Ironically, they're protecting the brand in precisely the wrong way by offering feedback to the company in a very public forum, which is damaging the brand. But if you look at the customers and you look at their purchasing behavior, they're great customers, just bad reviewers.
Well, then, it would appear that even if the Attorney General of New York State is successful in his case and somehow eradicates all paid sock puppets from review boards of all retailers, the majority of fake reviews still won't disappear from the face of the earth.
That is what probably concerned us the most about the results of our study. It's perhaps not surprising to us that firms are going to behave strategically to boost their own ratings or lower the ratings of their competitors. But these are customers doing this for no apparent financial reason. And so it suggests that this may be a lot more prevalent than we would otherwise expect.
All right, Duncan, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Duncan Simister is a professor at MIT's Sloan School of Management.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.